which we don't have to? Or do we want to meet the minimum and address local conditions for the balance? That's the question before the committee. And if you like, instead of simply saying airbags, and the generators are not for motor vehicles, the generators were a standalone, so the sentence needs to be corrected. But instead of saying an airbags for motor vehicles, simply you keep motor vehicles as an entity on its own. So it's not just airbags you're looking at, but you're looking at the whole motor vehicle. Because I got the impression you were looking at the whole motor vehicle, in particular the front impact, as it were. Yes?
Chair, what the essence of my recommendation was is that there should be a minimum standard, which is airbags and ABS brakes. That should be the minimum standard that vehicles are allowed to into this country. And that was in light of the discussion that we had around the get and go. So I'm not happy with the way that this is worded, because I just think that it conflates generators and vehicles together. But there should be a separation.
I'm not here. Review products and then if you don't have this, review products in the new environmental and economic landscape to assess whether they should be classified under national compulsory regulation specifications. Product examples for consumer safety minimum requirements include generators to address household energy requirements and motor vehicles. Because I don't think it should only be the airbags. It should be the entire motor vehicle itself. Now that is what, you must remember that once I have edited something, which was this, I send it to staff who check my English, because English, as we love to say, is certainly not my language. So I like to ensure that what I mean to say and what we mean is captured, and that's what staff are employed for, to check on our small challenges in life. Okay. So I'm going to ask Mr. Herlins and Ms. Herling to consider going back to what I had done. That then keeps us all in the loop. All right? Two, encouraging innovation and research, such as the programs at the Design Institute understands, we must remember to spell it all out, to facilitate the creation of decent work opportunities. This would require increased financial resources. It's not just financial resources, even though I may have said that, it's increased resources. They don't have enough space. They made that clear. And they don't have enough staff. So, 10.3, facilitating a speedy resolution of the working environment of the Companies and Intellectual Property Commission simply to restore a cooperative, stable and productive entity. Supporting the decision of SIPSI to link up with entities such as SARS and Transnet to create a one-stop shop types of facilities that reduce the regulator and administrative burden of business. Increasing the number 5 of service terminals in all provinces to improve the ease of doing business. All right, I have one check for all of us. In referring to 10.3, it does for you address the issues around the clusters there. When we talk about cooperative, stable and productive entity. Right? Now 10.5, increasing the number of self-service terminals in all provinces. We've done that. Then 10.6 is reviewing. It's a new one. It's a new one. Reviewing. Sorry, Honourable Shivabu.
I'm not sure if 10.4 and 10.5 adequately speak to the fact that CIPC should have the business registration points in all provinces and all areas where they will be accessible, other than the ones that they currently have. It looks too broad in my analysis, because in principle, the issue that was raised was to say that Let's see that it is not only in Pretoria and one terminal point in Sunnyside in Cape Town. Let it be a way of it being accessible to ordinary people all over the country without relying on those mediators who often overprice the services of different businesses and NGOs and whatever responsibilities that they have to deal with. I'm not sure if that...
No, I agree with you. It was rural issues that were brought up. I do agree with you, and all problems. So those two issues are factoring in, Honourable Williams.
Chairperson, one way to get these sites close to the people would be to put them into the Tucson centres, and they'd also have, which are scattered around the country, in municipalities and in rural areas. So perhaps, and because they've got security, they are government buildings with labour, with home affairs, some of them, so perhaps it would be easier to put them there and quicker. They could do that quickly. Thank you.
All right. Let me read this position, and I'm reading this, this particular proposal here, addressing the same thing in the light of the 2 points just being made. Support the decision of SIPSI to link up with one-stop shops entity such as SARS to extend opportunities for clients to utilize their services and to cut costs. One could then add in two from in that phrase. 10.5, increase the number of self-service terminals in all provinces and rural areas to improve the ease of doing business. So we've got a couple of little points here which would capture the provinces and the rural centres, I mean the rural areas, and then you could consider Tucson. What would you like to do? I'm looking right down at Honourable Shambu.
You want the provinces and rural areas?
I think the expansion of CTI2C should not only be through self-service centres, self-service terminals. I mean, it must have presence to for people register without having to, because it's a different story when it's also in the terminals. It could be to say that attached to a SARS office or a 2000 center, there are people who are registering companies on behalf of CIPC Day. Everything else in there. Whatever technology they utilize is okay. If the service center is there, utilize it, okay, but as a principal matter is that there should be a way of registering companies, not through mediators in all provinces, all communities.
All right, let's look at the issue which captured Tucson. Let's put that on the table quick. Are we all familiar with Tucson centers? The question was, are we all familiar? So it means you're not in, Honourable Magyar.
No, I'm not. But I think what we want to say is that anything that has a high use by the public, so whether it is a shopping centre, whether it is a community service centre, whether it is a Tucson service centre, whatever that is, I think anything that is of high use, you know, in a particular area should be considered by CRPC. I think if you start naming, it should be here, then exclude there, if you get what I'm saying.
Yes, one issue, it's a service that requires high security, as we've learned from the former SIPRO. We certainly don't want all our companies duplicated to begin with directors. So we've got to retain an element of security. And for that, we may not have to mention Tucson per se, but at least we are talking about what we could talk about one-to-one or personal one-stop shop centres. Everyone understands the principle of a one-stop. It's where you've got everything together. But to try and take it into Woolworths or some such place, I don't think it will provide the security that is required. So I really want to, after taking one more hand, suggest that we get Ms. Hurling there to work on something, or for that matter yourself, Honourable Williams, you can try and put that together for us, where we retain the one-stop shop, the SARS, which is their suggestion, the rural province, but also put in Honourable Shumumbo's point about not just the terminal. We want the capacity of a one-to-one engagement. Okay? Now, I want you to contribute. I want you to use your hands to do the working you see. So it's an appeal to you, Honorable Williams. And Honorable Shalambu, if we can leave that for the moment, then we'll come back. Honorable Williams, can I ask you to draw something, including four steps there?
So are you taking out two soul centers? Because I really think we should put it in. And the reason I think we should put it in chairperson is because if we give the CPI, if we give the CPIC the opportunity to choose whether they want, they're going to take 5 years to go through all the options. But if there's a two soul center in every municipality in South Africa, so we can just tell them. Or if we give them a choice, they'll say, we don't know, we thought Woolworths, we thought SARS, we don't know. But
they don't want Woolworths. We have already said we support their decision to consider SARS, and we would suggest also Tucson. So you can add the Tucson, but I don't want to discuss it now. I want to see you draft something for us, please. It's a request from me. Thank you. And then I'll come back to it. So we're leaving subsidy out for the moment. We're coming back. The national lotteries. A review, the numbers all change, of course. Where's this now? Right, national lotteries. Reviewing the proposed reduction and the allocation review, I've purposefully changed this to a verb rather than a gerund, all right, because it's stronger, please, stronger. Review the National Credit Regulator's resources to enable it to fulfill its mandate, the National Lotteries regulation. The allocation to be increased. This is particularly important as it contributes to social cohesion. They are cutting the allocations to all of the DAs, or rather to the NLB, and the proposal that the NLB came up with is they will cut arts quite significantly. The discussion that the committee had was sports becomes a natural route for business to go and promote. It doesn't become a natural business for them to promote the art, the indigenous art, the culture, the heritage, music, and so on, so that the lotteries could play a larger role there, or indeed the role that they are playing. We shouldn't reduce the resources there. And I'm hoping no one will feel that there's a real challenge in that one. Reviewing the National Credit Regulator's resources to enable its Honourable Chimambu?
Is it possible to make further submissions with regards to the National Lotteries Board submissions? Because I think one of the things that we did raise there was to say that maybe there should be consideration that sports should be funded separate from the National Lotteries allocation, because what happens is that lotteries gives money to elite sports, to the federations and the these sporting bodies, the SAFA, SASCOC, and all these other things, in terms of what happens. There could be a consideration that sports should be funded maybe directly from government in terms of its development, and then the major focus of the lottery board could be like communities and projects where people can help themselves. They cannot do anything. They don't have any other sort of funding, like the projects that they're focusing on now, early childhood development and a variety of other interventions. Not elite sports.
So it's on the table. It was a point that was considered while we were engaging. Everyone who was there knows. Do you want a broader recommendation to be made with respect to lotteries? The one you're considering putting here would require, you see, I think, a primary amendment in the legislation, an amendment to the primary, because in the primary it states specifically sports, you see that. So you couldn't just fix it with the regulations. Yes.
Yeah, look, the sporting funding is not a problem. They can fund development of sports, not the elite sporting bodies, because the majority of the money which the lottery board spend on sports to give to elite sports, to SAFA, to SAFCOC, to the rugby union, to the swimming union, at a very high level. And and those are supposed to give us support from elsewhere, we can continue to fund the development of sports on the ground in terms of what they've been doing. But a substantial component of the sports allocation goes to the elite.
Well, I don't think there was a disagreement about that funding. Yes, on Okalaku.
Not then you'll go, I was not part of the discussions. But I agree with the angle which the honorable member is coming from. But I think what we should do, because it's true one thing. Lottery, most of the time, that money, they put it to SACCO. And SACCO decides on the end, mostly who benefits the elite, as I say. But I don't want us to say, because in the elite sports, if you Lloyd, you notice, rugby, cricket are overfunded.
Yeah.
Even private sector. So I think what we should, because I want us to capture this side of a development as well. And which there's a lot of those programs under SACCO. But how do we, that's where my dilemma is, how do we actually force SACCO actually, unless we can put under to capture this developmental aspect, when lottery is funded, it must be conditional that the bulk of the funding must go to development of sport, rather than, because SACCO will find it concentrating on swimming, improving swimming, giving money there, and or giving that money to fund our Olympic teams or Commonwealth. So if we can get something to go around that. You see, my problem, Floyd, is the government doesn't really put money in sports department. And as a result, it's very difficult for that department to although the department itself is supposed, is more supposed to concentrate on development of sport more than elite. So, but I want us to capture this thing this part of the development.
All right, I definitely think that we must look at that. Honourable Williams, I'll take you last, Honourable Shivambu, because you came with this, yes.
Jefferson, I think one way that we can word this is that we exclude professional sporting bodies. So anybody that's professional is obviously doing it to make money, and therefore they get sponsored and they're professional. So everybody else can get access to the lotto money, but professional sporting boards or whatever can't get access, and I think that would be the way to deal with this problem. Thank you.
I think the essence is captured to say that I'm not sure if one of us is going to SACCO, because if you check the SACCO usage, most of the times it's for their own administrative issues and salaries and so they must be with, because one of the distributing agencies which we met today had the formula of allocating money to schools in name the provinces, they say in contact 1 to 3 in terms of schools and the quarries, and then they were saying 10 to the province. So they had a method of saying we're going to give the money directly, not necessarily through SACCO in terms of that should be the primary focus. And, but their concern was that they don't have enough money, because about 80 million of money every year is given to SACCO only. And what happens if there is no clear reporting on the database? Yeah. So there must be a way of that capturing the
Well, that's what we're going to do. Because we may also, I think this would require as well the amendment of the main legislation. Now, we don't wait for that, but we want to kind of separate it. That if this, we can pose it that way, if this requires an amendment to the principal legislation, then the minister should proceed with that. However, the committee believes that by focusing on the intention of the NLB, the intention function of the LNB was never to go and fund administrations. Do you know that kind of thing? It's never the intention. If you look back at its mandates, etc. But focusing, refocusing on the primary, the vision and purpose of this legislation, the committee, required or it's got the minister should insist that the developmental aspect of sports be prioritized and that professional bodies and admin costs not should be excluded from funding. Why should we fund the administration of these bodies? Is there any reason? Is there any reason why the lotto should fund the administration of these bodies? Are we going to shoot ourselves in the foot because some of the developmental organizations also have administration, you follow? So maybe we should just say, and to keep that professional exclusion in and leave the word admin out, because you could prevent the developmental sports administrations being funded. And after all, where are they going to get money from, you know, to focus on their work? Right. So we're not going to be able to put it all in now because we also have a time constraint. And the decision we're going to, I was hoping to pass this report today and have it adopted, but what we're going to do is finish working on the recommendation and get a broad agreement so tomorrow morning early we just pass it, adopt it and release you to process it. All right. So let's proceed in this manner. Make sure everyone has a copy of the revisions this afternoon so that we can alert you. Honourable, is that hand, Honourable Montage? No? Okay. Then let's go to the National Empowerment Fund. Reviewing the national credit, well, I don't want to say the number because the numbers have changed, you see. Review the national credit regulator's resources to enable it to fulfill its mandate given its critical role in the socio-economic environment in maintaining the financial health of consumers, banks and other lenders, and consequently the country as a whole. There was a lot more to it than that, and we're hoping that you see you haven't got the other aspect of that in, which is the National Credit Regulators and the Vehicles. Where are the vehicles? There was a one on vehicles here, which I came through. Where is the one? Here we are. I see it here. The current practice of selling, now there's a concluding remark. Oh, well, this was one of the recommendations I sent, but it's been put repositioned into conclusion. And I should just read it for you. The current practices of selling repossessed vehicles and houses places all the risk on the consumer, as they would still need to cover any shortfalls on the sale, while credit providers have no obligation to ensure that the market-related price is achieved. This results in credit providers having no risk associated with this exercise. The committee has had a lot of complaints from consumers on the way they've paid their houses off for 10 years, all other contributed payments. And after 10 years, the houses are flogged, they've got no house, and they're left with half the bond to still be paid. And that cannot be just. That cannot be social justice in any way whatsoever. So that was put through to conclusion. Can you just explain why you did that speech, Mr. Hermans? I don't disagree, but explain.
No, there is, if you look at 10.9, we added your full, we stood so your recommendation that you originally had and put part of that recommendation as concluding remark, and 10.9 is the two issue that you have raised.
Considering initiating an investigation into the current practices by credit providers in the sale of repossessed goods, run. That was the other part of the recommendation. So we keep that aspect as a recommendation and the balance as a conclusion. Can we move to the IDZ? By the way, Honourable Hill Lewis, who was it that was sworn in?
It's our dear colleague, Honourable Peter van Dalen, who I'm sure you will remember, returns to Parliament today for the first time. And along with Honourable Chiruwani from the ANC was also sworn in this morning.
What's the other name?
Honourable Chiruwani. She was in the previous Parliament, but she hasn't been here for a
while. Well, there's just one way to get a seat. Fine, thank you.
Yes, Honourable
I wanted to put a relative to the MDF.
No, I'm coming back.
Okay, I'm about to
Reviewing the review the resources of the National Empowerment Fund to enable it to fulfill its mandate of black economic empowerment, which is a national priority, and to enable it to establish a venture capital fund to encourage private-public partnerships. Yes, Honourable Shivambu?
I think that the one thing about any recipient of the loan is that they are like luminaries. They, like the Democratic Republic of Clothing Labour, that they import almost everything. They're not igniting real economic activities here. The other, The other recipient is manufacturing trades and retailers, almost all of them. Now, well, the commitment that will be a capacity built in South Africa, and if you look deeper, Chair, into that commitment, is that the 70 million loan that are given is given as part of equity to a bigger company, which might decide otherwise to say we are comfortable continuing to import all the rolling stock from Brazil and instead of manufacturing them in South Africa. I think that there must be, if it requires legislative change or regulatory change, there should be some commitment that all the money which the MEF gains should be for economic activities which are going to ignite and somewhat sustain local productive economic activities instead of financing high lives of people who want to go to Italy and wherever to bring finished goods and services. It doesn't add value to the economy, it just enriches them without focusing on the real empowerment of the people.
I must just recall four members that in the previous term of Parliament, the issue did come up, and in regulations or instructions, the Minister specified that in future, allocations of a particular level, above a particular level, would have to have his approval or his designated person. And that was directly related to the luminance issue, by the way. It's one of these things with legislation, there are certain loopholes which are always exploited to full, as it were. But with respect to other issues here, I think there are two aspects. On the one side, I certainly witnessed a lot of, triple B, double E on our own production side. That was outside. Except in one respect, which was quite remarkable, they made floors, both of them were producing, using wood. One used the wood which was imported, you'll recall, right next door to the one that used all local wood, achieved the same situation. I thought that was quite remarkable. Why would we support one importing the wood rather than throwing in most of our allocation to the one that was utilizing local woods? It was an anomaly, that particular one. So I'd like, and I'll take your hand in a minute, Honourable McPherson, for us, what I'd like to do, Honourable Williams is working on the one clause for us to have certainly before 12 o'clock. I'm going to ask you to work on this one, to factor in the views we stated here, but I do think we've got to put the emphasis on that we want to encourage, yes, the triple B, double E issue, but also the productive aspect of this. And yes, I don't think we're opposed entirely to some form of private-public partnership as long as it is for the right purpose, etc. If you would put something together and just email it to me, it would be very helpful, Honourable Shivambu. Yes, Honourable McPherson.
Thank you. The National Empowerment Fund deals with entrepreneurs, innovators, people who have fresh and new ideas. And the problem with innovators is that they don't fit in the mold, or they are redesigning the system of commerce or industry or wherever they might may see themselves in. And I think that it would be dangerous for us to try and put circle thinking people in a square hole. And I think there's been limitations on who can do what through the NEF. We start to exclude the very kind of people that we are wanting to attract. And what we should be looking for is that the NEF should be focusing on high-value innovations that can have broad-ranging effects and consequences for South Africa. So I don't mind that people like that Democratic Republic fellow is funded. He has a great business fulfilling a big need in South Africa, and we shouldn't be trying to get people to fulfill needs that don't exist. That's why entrepreneurs come along in the first place. Whether he imports a button from Italy or makes it in South Africa, I think is quite frankly irrelevant. So I would just be very, very skeptical if we start to create something that starts to pigeonhole what kind of innovators or entrepreneurs we're looking for. Thanks.
Honourable McPherson, why I stopped you just in your tracks there, you can bring that to the table again. This will have to come on tomorrow morning, but I'm hoping that Honourable Shivambu would have drawn something up which we can tackle, as it were, with this in mind, and look at the innovation issue that you have raised. Because the purpose of NEF was to tackle the BBBEE issue in particular. That was its primary mandate as entrepreneurs. But today they have to remain now compliant to other legislation that has followed. But where some of the issues do come up is when so little of a final product was sourced outside. In other words, purely the design element. You designed something and the materials were from outside. In some cases, all of them. And to a degree, when you actually, the label doesn't say South Africa. It doesn't say designed in South Africa, from materials in the DRC, what does it say, the label? And that sends the wrong perception to anyone wanting to buy that clothing. I mean, when I got there, I was quite shocked to see made in the DRC or something. But I won't take the hand only because we have a commitment with finance at 10:15 for Able Bank. And I do, well, I'm not taking Honourable Shambu's hand either. No, you can tomorrow. He is equally, challenged by the concept on the table. And by that, for that matter, so is Honourable Williams. And then I start all over again. Tomorrow morning, we're going to meet at 9 o'clock here. Not here, yet. We're meeting at 9 o'clock in M514. And this will be the very first thing on the table. And I'd like you, Honourable McPherson, to put down an alternative proposal through. Okay. And Honourable Williams, to make sure I get that before, thank you. And anything else to come to me before 12. Thank you. We are now going to M514.